According to all known laws of aviation, there is no way that a bee should be able to fly. Its wings are too small to get its fat little body off the ground.
Yes, it's Bee Movie Mania! I'm a bee.
I want to be like 60 years old, and here we are.
Yes, and we will. And that's my cue to say thank you, listener, for joining us here on Bee Movie Mania. Buzz, buzz, buzz. I'm here as Michael Hayes, everyone's favorite Bee Movie Maniac. And with me, as is every year, and we've done this like 5 years or something now, Bee expert Jeff Alvarez. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hi. It's good to be back. And who else?
Oh, no one. It's just you and me. We're going back to basics. Sorry. Yeah, we're...
So you're not bringing in someone, like, on the side, like, as a surprise guest to try and show me up and make me look like an idiot? That's not the vit that you're going to do this time.
No, I tried to get someone...
Because I feel like the past couple times there's been, like, a random new expert that, like, knows... Like, you all of a sudden, like, Tracy just appeared, like, yeah, with just an encyclopedic knowledge of bees, and I was like... Mm-hmm. Kind of just left, but okay, yeah, all right, I'm back.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about those other times. I was just trying to make sure all the sides of the hexagon were covered.
And longevity, like, I have a persistence where, like, some other bee experts might not, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna be here. You want to watch the bee movie? Here I am. But Tracy, you know, she's off, you know, building a family.
I guess building families, yeah. So that's the only reason she's not here. And I did also try to get a murder hornet expert, but they're dead, so that didn't happen.
I didn't even know about the murder hornet thing at all.
I got to watching some documentary, Attack of the Murder Hornets, on Discovery, and it's fucking wild. It's filmed like The Matrix, but it's about murder hornets.
Yeah, yeah. So did this come out, like, this year, like, recently?
Yeah, it was... yeah, I think it's this year it came out, 2021.
No one needed that. Like, or just, like, it's, like... And it's so menacing. That whole documentary, the music is just super tense. It's, like...
It's really tense.
We've got a pandemic going on, but now there's hornets that are going to kill all the bees.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And that would be terrible. We don't want that to happen.
That's like the bees, you know, this is their pandemic, are these killer hornets.
Yes, they went through a pandemic as we're going through a pandemic, and they still are. Spoiler, the documentary ends with them. They didn't get them all.
Yeah, so I didn't finish it, but I will finish it.
Did you have to turn it off because of the anxiety involved with them handling these fucking live death machines?
I think that I just, like, at the point where they're trying to attach, like, little robotic, like, robots to the bees that, or to the hornets, that's when I was just like, oh, like, there was a moment where they're eagerly, like, it's like launch of this hornet that they're going to collect data from, I think, if I was following, and it just can't fly. And the guy's like, well, yeah, because we taped its wings together.
Its wings
so
together.
It can't fly.
It, This was in, it's this, this documentary was suggested to me, well, not to me personally, but recommended from David Farrier, the guy who directed Tickled. He described this movie as bumbling scientists trying to stop, you know, find murder hornets. And that is, it's, they are,
yeah,
man, there's a lot of failures are interesting to watch, but there's a lot of bumbles in this thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's the opening is just so horrifying.
Oh, it's so,
it made me think of like Jerry's, or I'm sorry, Barry's.
Barry, yeah.
Responses to like all of the horrors that are inflicted upon the bees, because this would have been too much. The decapitated bees everywhere, like Barry would have just, wouldn't have been able to handle it.
I mean, could this be the sequel? Could this be the sequel we've been wanting?
It is, like, how many people approach Jerry Seinfeld and they're like, how about the B-movie sequel? And this might be the pitch. This might be the one that gets him.
But here's the thing. Okay, just like in B-movie, there are like seven different, very distinct, different acts in it. That it's just, you know, it's every type of movie all in one. This movie could have, you got the murder hornets, and we think that they're the bad guys. Turns out it's that one honey farmer who, in the documentary, multiple times threatens and fantasizes about murdering the bees.
What an evil little creature. It just felt really good to know that the next day, all of them were going to be dead. Oh, I would love to have stomped them. The only way that it would be more justice is if they would have let me go in, behead all the murder hornets, glue them all down to something, and let me chop their little heads off or something.
He's the bad guy. He's the cartoonish guy that someone great voices, and Barry's got to take him down.
Yeah, and like there was just this weird, like, I'm not sure where all this was stemming from. Well, they kind of like alluded to like this weird, creepy childhood surrounded by bees, right? Like he recalls being a child and like he's at like school or something and there's all these bees being slaughtered and he's like, what if those had been my family's bees? Like that'd be really sad. And so it's like this guy's got this chip on his shoulder, really wants to protect the bees. And I'm just gonna like, you know, I'm still learning about the state of Washington, but this guy, is there like a, just a twinge of racism inside of this man? Like at the very least, because there's something like about this hornet that he thinks has invaded the US. And it just like, there's something like vaguely like, like,
yeah, there's wording throughout sometimes that's like, it was something that just didn't belong on our shores and stuff like that.
And you're like, wait, what?
Okay, man.
I mean, it's probably our fault. We're the ones, you know, globalization. Well, and it doesn't matter. That's not what the topic of this podcast is about.
No, that's true. We should get back to really what this is about. And this is about Barry B. Benson.
Yeah.
And his the biopic they made about him called B-Movie.
Yeah. And I mean, isn't it about, wait, what's his friend's name? You know what's funny is, all right, how many times have we watched this movie?
I mean, for the podcasts, five times.
So more
but
than that.
But we've watched it more than that, yeah.
Definitely more than that. And I don't think I've ever watched it sober enough to, like, remember if I've noticed all the bits, right? So, like, there were multiple times. I'm like, wait, have we talked about that? Like, because Matthew Broderick in this movie is was a delight to me this time around. Like, I loved Matthew Broderick. He is just a treasure.
He's a supportive friend.
Is he supportive? Yeah. He's a bit of a naysayer. Like,
no, you're right. You're right.
He's always just kind of like, maybe you should just toe the line. I feel like he does this in a lot of his movies.
He's like the centrist friend.
Just do your job, Barry.
Yeah, there is a weird level of like worker capitalism stuff throughout that's like, no, it's bad that we have to work so much. Ah, but we want to do it anyway, so.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to pick apart a moral there.
Yeah.
That's what works, like, that's a Jerry Seinfeld thing, I feel like. Like, I'm always kind of like, is, like, maybe he's all right, but then he'll say something, and I'm like, no, he's fine. He's but, fine. Like, questionable comedy or jokes or whatever, often.
Speaking of morals, I have to jump back to this murder hornet doc because there's some guy in it who says,
As dangerous as these can be, and as much as I don't want to be stung by them, the idea of murder hornets is a very hyperbolic nickname. The concept of murdering things exists in an ethical sphere, right? And that only makes sense for humans when we're talking about what our morals are. Ascribing our own ethics to the actions of other species, let alone insects, which are so different than vertebrates that they're essentially an alien life form, is nonsense.
Oh my God.
Do you agree?
Well, when I watched this murder hornet, I don't remember that scene, or maybe it was later in the movie. I had a different lens than B movie. So if we're talking murder hornet, I totally agree with them. But the beauty of B movie, they do have morals, you know, and Barry is torn up about, he's not that torn up about injecting himself into a relationship and breaking them up. So there is a moral compass there that maybe it's just deficient. And why wouldn't it be the same for the Hornets? The Hornet movie, I just kept thinking, why are the bees so great? They're trying so hard to find the nest of these murder hornets to stop the proliferation of them. But none of them really know that it's going to be bad. Right? They don't actually present any evidence that as this hornet population has grown, that it's hurt the bee population.
Well, they have had multiple entire hives beheaded by hornets.
That one guy.
No, there were multiple accounts of it.
In the movie.
Yeah, they mentioned someone else has had it too. Either way, I still think that they're murdering the bees, so why can't they be called murder hornets? I don't know. But you're right. Barry wouldn't last a second against a murder hornet. I'm just going to say it.
No, not at all. He's way too earnest, and I love that character. It's it's a Jerry Seinfeld that's just a little bit more open to experiencing the world. There's that scene where he is flying for the first time with the pigs. The police. And he's just like, oh my God, flying is amazing. It's beautiful. It's like he's experiencing he's like a newborn baby lamb, as one might say, you know?
Just dripping with placenta.
Just.
Or bee larva.
Just afterbirth everywhere, basically. He's just sopping in it.
Yeah.
And there's not very many Jerry Seinfeld characters that do that. You know, usually he's a pretty cynical, closed-minded, kind of piece of shit, really. You know what I mean? Yeah. I like this version of Jerry. I like the Barry Jerry.
The Barry Jerry is the superior Jerry. And I think we should maybe petition to have the TV show Seinfeld re-edited with Barry in his place.
Yeah.
And that would probably be better.
The other thing that struck me about the Murder Hornet doc, though, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place right now. But the Murder Hornet, so that's in Blaine, Washington. I'm still learning the geography in Washington. The folks listening, I recently moved. Well, I think I was here last year. I moved to Washington. B-movie last year. I was hi, I recently moved to Washington. But it still kind of feels like that because, you know, the pandemic and everything. I'm learning the lay of the land is what I'm saying. I don't know where I am.
Yes. So where's this place?
It's basically Canada. These people are Canadian.
Oh, really?
They're more Canadian than they are. Right on the border, right on the water. It's really, really beautiful up there. The menacing music as they floated through the forest. I was if you just change that music to Sierra Rose or something really ethereal, everyone would be oh, these are nice little murder hornets.
They're beautiful.
Look at all those ferns and those big Douglas firs. It's fucking lush. Does that mean anything to you, Mikey?
It means a lot to me.
Yeah. I'm just trying to add some color and flavor.
You're doing great. You're adding a lot of color and flavor, a good honey flavor in there.
Because I don't think many people are going to download Paramount Plus to watch the Murder Hornet documentary.
Discovery Plus,
Whatever.
We don't need them to do both, because if they go to Paramount and they get so mad, it'll be a whole thing. So you mentioned that you've never been sober enough watching B-movie to know if you've noticed all the little things, and I feel the same way. Mm. And I noticed something this time that I wanted to ask you about. while they're Barry and Andy are getting their job assignment stuff, the guy behind the counter is describing all the job openings they have.
I can't believe we're starting work today.
Today's the day.
Come on, all the good jobs will be gone.
Yeah, right. Pollen counting, stunt bee, pouring, stirrer, front desk, hair removal.
Is it still available?
Hang on. Two left, and one of them's yours. Congratulations, son. Step to the side, please.
Yeah. What'd you get?
Picking the crud out? Whoa. That is stellar.
Wow.
Couple of newbies?
Yes, sir. Our first day. We are ready.
Well, step up and make your choice.
You want to go first?
No, you go.
Oh, my. What's available?
Restroom attendance always open, and not for the reason you think.
And I was wondering what reason you think that the bathroom attendant position in the Beehive is always open.
Wait, so you text about that quote, yeah. And I didn't remember that moment. I'm like, oh, wait, how did I miss that? That's amazing. I have no idea what is actually the bit there.
Well, it's not for the reason we think it is. So I got whatever that obvious, like a plugged up toilet's probably that.
I was thinking the person with the towels, like the restroom attendant, right, is handing you like a warm washcloth and like offering you a mint.
Do you think he doesn't like how many towels he has to pass out? Because there's like six hands.
That could be. That's a funny bit. That could be a whole bit is just this. Got towels flying all over the place.
We have a spinoff movie about the bathroom attendant.
Oh, fuck. That's toilet paper, not a washcloth. I'm sorry.
No. I'm going to be fired. Did anything else pop out this go through?
I think that. No, I think it's just like Broderick stood out to me, like, as in, like, I feel like he was almost typecast into this movie. That's great. I'm assuming he's like friends with Jerry Seinfeld and he was like, do the movie. So that, sure, that stood out to me. And then also just like Jerry Seinfeld, it's Jerry Seinfeld, but presented for children. So he's just a little more palatable and like earnest, yeah, or like, mm-hmm, you know, like he's kind of like a child in some ways.
He kind of does a cartoon version of his voice, right? Because the whole movie sounds like he's doing a Jerry Seinfeld impression.
Yeah, it really does.
The whole voice is him in the upper register talking like this.
And why do we need to subject children to, like, that's, I was asking you, like, so they marketed this to kids? Like, were there, like, I'm assuming we've watched all the trailers.
Yeah.
And they probably position this movie as just like another DreamWorks movie or whatever, but it's, mm-hmm, very much not.
No. There's a lot of adult themes. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't, but I think it's rated PG. It has to be. There's nothing at all. It could be G, really. There's nothing in the movie. There's like two sort of sexual innuendos. That's it. Apart from the sheer horror that Jerry Seinfeld, the bee, falls in love with a human and vice versa.
Which is the greatest, that's the greatest part of the movie, is when he just, like, he's stuck in the apartment, and she's putting him outside of the apartment, like, on a piece, yeah, of paper. And do you remember this, like, he just slides off the piece of paper with his hand straight up, his eyes, yeah, are just trained on her, and he just slides, mm-hmm, off, and you know, like, that's not the end. Like, he's gonna get back inside that apartment and, like, start speaking to her.
I think you watch this the first time and you know that bit. Everyone jokes about it. It's kind of the punchline of the movie. And you see that all happen and then you're like, what the fuck? And then you forget and you're like, yeah, but was it really like, were they flirting or whatever? This watch around, yeah, the flirting was, yeah, intensified. I think the HD cut of it now has just a lot of flirt going on.
I just want you to know that I'm grateful and I'm going to leave now.
Oh, wait. How did you learn to do that?
What?
That the talking thing.
Oh. Same way you did, I guess. Mama, dada, honey, you pick it up.
That's very funny.
Yeah, bees are funny. Huh. If we didn't laugh, we'd cry with what we have to deal with. Anyway.
Can I, get you something?
Like what?
I don't know. I don't know. Coffee?
Well, I don't want to put you out unless you're making anyway.
No, it takes 2 minutes.
Really?
It's just coffee.
I hate to impose.
Don't be ridiculous.
Actually, I would love a cup.
Hey, you want a little rum cake?
I really should.
Have a little rum cake.
No, I can't.
Oh, come on.
You know, I'm trying to lose a couple micrograms here.
Where?
Well, these stripes don't help.
You look great.
I don't know if you know anything about fashion.
So this is great. I'm going to use this after this. I'm going to go tell Michaela, my partner, Michaela, that now I know why we have to buy a new TV. Like, my TV is like 15 years old. It's so old, dude. Like, that same TV we were watching TV on when we lived together.
Oh, is that same one?
It was already pretty old, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it was the world's first like 40-inch LG TV that was flat. You know, like,
yeah, you're going to need to go spend some money so you can watch B-movie better next year.
Yeah. And like, we got close and she was just like, why do you want to buy a TV and watch more TV? And I'm like, okay, I don't have a good answer. Now I have the answer.
Now,
B-movie. Because Mikey said that he experienced B-movie in HD at kind of a new level. And I want to get like all the intricacies of like those facial expressions from Barry.
You really need to see it, and the background movements are so good.
Yeah, I want to see them fall in love in HD.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of this year, like, I noticed something else this time where so obviously attraction and love and lust exists in this universe because Barry expresses it, but also Andy expresses it at some point.
That girl was hot.
She's my cousin.
She is?
Yes, we're all cousins.
Right, you're right.
So that means that they grow up and feel lust, see someone attractive, but their entire life is just, nope, I'm related to this bee. I can't fuck this bee.
So they're all cousins.
They're all cousins, but they're horny. So either there's a lot of incest that does happen, or they're in some sort of hell landscape where they are lustful but cannot in any way be lust.
That's interesting. Because
they're all cousins.
Are you, like, peeling back a new layer of this movie? Like, is there this just, like, subtle, like, Christian fundamentalist kind of undercurrent here where it's just, like, they're all... It's like maybe they're not really cousins, but, like, they're all cousins... It's kind of like abstinence
cousins
culture.
Cousins in arms.
You know what I'm saying? No, it's like abstinence culture,
abstinence
right?
Culture?
So they're just like, oh, I can't fuck my cousin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they're like...
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Incels. They're all incels.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that. I don't know. Maybe this... moving on. I don't know what everything... I'll talk about that with my therapist and we'll talk about whatever you've got next. Because you see, Mikey, the career of a bee expert, you know, it's not just like, all right, cool. I graduated college, you know, I went, I got a coordinator position, you know, you know, at the local beehive and like worked my way up to project manager. Then they're like, you know what? Good job on the project. Here's a program. Mm-hmm. Like, now you're a real manager, you got people. Like, that's not the way the bee expert career goes. You know, there's ups and downs, there's peaks and valleys, you know? Like, one day you're a bee expert, the next day you're being brought into a podcast. You're one of your best friends, Mikey, brings in an outside expert without telling you. As she proceeds to destroy you and you're left a little bit decimated. I think there were some other... setbacks there as well, but like the point is, like, now here I am, I'm back, there's a lot to talk about, you know. The B movie, there's still layers for us to discuss, and it's just you and me, and we can talk about this for as long as you want, you know what I mean, like, or longer than you want is kind of what I'm saying.
I get that, and again, I am sorry about the additional knowledge I was trying to bring into the show.
I'm not asking you to apologize. I mean, it's like, that's the career of a bee expert, is there's ups and downs, and that was a down, you know, like, not just, I guess, as my career, but just as a friend, I guess, like, you know what I mean? Like, but here we are, we're back.
Yeah. I mean, so it was a much needed and necessary, like, taking down of the ego for the bee expert to kind of help you thrive.
Much like the bee movie, there's a lot of ups and downs and shifts and...
Well, bees don't actually fly in a straight line. They're very zigzaggy flyers, so...
Yeah. Well, they can fly in a straight line.
Well, if they want to.
Yeah. But who'd want to? Like...
I mean...
Why fly in the rain? Like, I think that's... To me, like, that's what all of us should take... If this is the last B B-movie episode we ever do, you know? If, like, it next year, I don't know what might happen to you. Like, a million things could happen to you, Mikey, that would just take you out of the picture, and we'd never get to do the B-movie podcast again. I think if we could take away one thing, it's, to me, it's not that bees can't fly in the rain. It's why fly in the rain. And I think that's really beautiful.
That makes a lot of sense. And you've reminded me, though, that I should bring this up. In the case of my passing, inevitable passing.
Yeah.
Who should replace me? You should just replace me with someone else. You take over the B-Movie Mania podcast. You run it into the ground as you see fit.
Yeah.
But you should just replace me with someone.
I would immediately move back to Chicago.
Okay.
And just kind of like ease into like your chair. You know what I mean? Like get into
like
your
slowly?
Get into your space. Not slowly, just like easily. It's going to be like there's going to be continuity. Like I'm ready is what I'm saying. Like when you go,
okay.
I'm ready to step in and like it's okay. Like nothing's going to change. Like, you know, the native, like all of the like cool events and shit that you host, all of that's going to keep going without you.
Oh, so wait, my passing is going to be the way you're going to ease into my role as a host of this spinoff one yearly episode of a podcast to then identity theft me?
Yeah, I'm going to ease in like an old man into a warm bath, like slowly, surely, but like definitely, inevitably.
Okay. All right. That's not as reassuring as I think you think it is.
I'm not saying I wish that it happens next year. I'm saying that if it does, I'd like to have one or two more seasons with you, honestly. Like, I think we can do this for at least a few more. Yeah, let's say, like, we'll do it for three more years, and then we'll see what happens.
We're re-upping for three more years of watching B-movie together?
Yeah, I've got at least 3 years in me.
All right, okay, that's good.
And I'll finish the Murder Hornet movie for sure. Because it sounds like it goes some dark places. So, do they win? Who wins at the end of the documentary? Can you give that away, or do we not really do that for the listeners?
There's a left field play that happens near the end that is.
I can't imagine.
You want to know?
Yeah.
Okay. So they're trying to find the murder hornet nest, and they're trying to like catch these hornets so they can follow them back to the nest and track them back. And so they successfully do it. They find a nest. And it's on the land of this guy. And he's like, oh, that's cool. That's fascinating. Turns out this guy's a dick. And he decides that since it's on his property, that he wants every single murder hornet carcass from it and the actual nest that they take away. He like demands it. As they're trying to do scientific research on this, they have to call him and ask permission.
It's not the fact that there's a nest in it. It's my property. You know, I pay taxes on that property, so we want it back. And I told him I wanted every specimen, every larva, everything back.
The same murder hornet chaos that has made people really engaged also makes them kind of want them. Because this species is an introduced species, it is not governed by Washington State Fish and Wildlife laws explicitly. There's kind of this gray empty area. And so the landowner just said, I want this nest back.
It says nothing gets released unless it's approved by me in writing, so.
Hey, we want to take a couple of the queens and send them off to get studied at some big whatever institute, and they have to, like, beg him to let them do that.
That is kind of quite a turn. That's perfect, actually. That's very, like, it's rural Washington. Like, oh, this guy, what else? This guy has nothing else to do, but he's like, no.
Nothing's really too significant about these to me. They're just another bee. It's just one of those things that, you know, it would be a good wall art, I guess, in the house, you know, get it mounted or something.
Like, he's just thinking of selling them on fucking Etsy is what he's doing.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No, I mean, I kind of get it, but also it's an invasive species that we've never dealt and studied before here in the U.S. environments, and he's like, I could sell them to someone on Etsy for $22.
The CDC doesn't have to get involved in these kind of disputes, right? Like, the CDC isn't in charge of, there's an invasive species. What do we have?
No, that's the loophole. The loophole is because it's an invasive species, it's not on the record as like a protected species or something like that, where there is laws and jurisdiction. There's just nothing on it. So he gets to fucking do it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's weird. It's a weird wrench that happens, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I like it.
It was an interesting third act of a puzzle piece.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to finish that for sure.
Yeah, do it before you go hiking again, so you can keep an eye out for murder hornets.
So you want me to do it tonight? You want me to, like, come out of the little, like, office here and be like, okay, we actually have to finish the murder hornet
documentary. We gotta finish it. Because you're going to be hiking out in the woods there in Washington, and you don't want to come across a nest and not know it.
Dude, it's snowing here. It feels like Chicago and Seattle right now, so...
It sounds like the plot of a disaster movie, which is what B-movie becomes at some point, a disaster movie, because all the flowers are dead.
Yeah, and that scene when they're back up, like, on the rooftop or whatever, and just all the trees are gone.
Yeah, it really becomes like a fucking apocalypse movie for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes of the movie. That's the plot.
Yeah, they hit almost every genre of, like, you know, Hollywood movie.
It's really slickly woven in together, because you don't think of it, but it is that way, man. It's everything. And it doesn't feel like a sketch comedy show or a scary movie.
Yeah. I love it. I really do. Natural. I love this movie. I just think it's funny. I like enjoy the viewing every time a little bit more.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for watching with me. It was always fun. I had a fun time too.
Continuing to invite me. It's a long movie. So like whenever you're like, all right, when are we going to watch the movie again? I'm like, oh God, I don't know. Cause I need,
need an like hour and a half to do it. It should probably be, I mean, I like all the weird stuff in it, but it could, you know, you could cut it down. You could just tighten it up a bit.
There were a few like Seinfeld puns that maybe didn't need to happen. You know, it wouldn't have been hard. But
yeah, by Seinfeld puns, you mean puns that don't work at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Jeff. Thanks for starting out this brand new 2022 with B-Movie and me.
Yeah.
And all of us in the world.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, I'll talk to you next year.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
Good.
Waiting.
Good.
All right, let me see. Time to write some new erotic fan fiction. Let's see here. I'll call this B Movie Mounds. Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld walked to his laptop wearing a bee costume. He was dressed as his character, Barry, from Bee Movie. Yeah, that's good. He did a Google search for pictures of Vanessa from the movie Bee Movie. Jerry Seinfeld unzipped his very 1990s blue jeans and started whacking his penis to Vanessa's hot CGI mounds. I have a penis, Jerry said to nobody. A bee penis. A penis. Yeah, that's good. That's real good. A penis. Mike's gonna love this.